He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
So we are here in the USA and having a great time, and I want you to tell everybody how you're feeling, what's going on, and let's get into it. This is SNU, He Said, She Said. Take it away, Tracy.
What an introduction. Well, we are in Fort Collins, Colorado. Say what? Where is Fort Collins, Colorado? It is North Colorado, just on the border of Wyoming. And we were here at a Motel 6, big time, and we are bringing to you SNU Live. So, what's cooking? We had a wonderful time with Steve and Julia Adelaide in their home in Golden, Colorado. And what she prepared, this beautiful 4th of July meal. Now, one of the things that I have never, ever had before in my life, and I attest to having a lot of different ethnic background foods, this was barbecued tofu. Yes. Barbecued tofu. Never heard of this before, never tasted it before, but mind you, it was absolutely delicious, and I want to share this with you. What she did was she took firm tofu, cut it into quarter-inch slices, and then you know that tofu takes on whatever sauce that you marinated in. She marinated it in a little bit of sea salt or Celtic sea salt and pepper and some barbecue sauce, natural barbecue sauce, of course. And then the next day she placed it on the barbecue and added a little bit more pepper and a little bit more salt to season. And my goodness, it was absolutely delicious, and it is on my list of foods to cook on my next barbecue. What I would do, I would marinate the firm tofu slices in my everyday healthy salad dressing, and then I may top it with a natural barbecue sauce if I so desire. But there's a multitude of different marinades that you can use, so get creative, and it's a great starter snack for a barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely. Steak tofu. Have you heard of that one? And, of course, tofu is marinated soybean curd. It has a relatively high protein content, but a low biological value, which is why we don't make soy our primary source of protein, and instead use animal proteins, preferably wild game, and animal proteins that are lean and healthy and raised with health in mind, if you can find them. And down here in the U.S., we do find access to bison and a variety of fish, although not as abundant as on the coast. We're pretty spoiled in Vancouver. And so we really enjoyed that. It's a good snack food combined with some of the other foods they had present on the 4th of July presentation of food fair at our wonderful friends, Steve and Julia. Okay, that's a great concept in food there, Trace. So let's get into the next topic. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was none other than Mr. Paul Check. Now, he has such an interesting background regarding his own personal story. And he was mentioning that, and I find it quite curious, that male athletes in mostly combat sports are truly angry men, and this is what drives them. Pretty much the abandonment of their fathers or a bad father-son relationship issues is what is the driving force for these athletes.
No doubt. And as we have determined by personal interaction with some world-class, very high elite athletes, especially people like Ironman athletes and bodybuilders and you name it, you know, the Tiger Woods and Wayne Gretzky experience is rare, where you have a father standing beside the son, supporting him all the way and actually getting involved right from cradle to the grave. In most cases, men do not have a good relationship with their father. They don't have a loving, kind, intimate, forgiving, well-tolerated relationship where you can speak your mind and not be criticized or damned or ridiculed. And also, a lot of guys grow up in homes that are really dysfunctional. The relationship between the mom and dad is less than can be desired. There's a lot of violence, not necessarily physical, but it's verbal, it's mental, it's emotional. There's a lot of abuse and that kind of thing. So what's interesting is that a great athlete grows up sometimes very empty inside, very insecure, and they find the contentment in the sport and the recognition in the sport, and people applaud their performance. But in actuality, a lot of them are very sad and lonely, and it's only through years of personal growth and maturing that a man finally comes to terms with the fact that he no longer needs to find approval in the father that has abandoned him, but rather in himself. And he sees his own glory and experiences what is called true manhood. So that was tremendously interesting. If you haven't heard that interview by Paul Check, please do, because it's one of the best ones. And Paul is a great guy. What a phenomenal athlete. What a phenomenal story he has that led him to creating the Paul Check Institute. Well, that leads us to our next topic. So here it is, Highway to Health, our tour update.
Oh, geez, I don't even know where to begin. I just want everyone to know that we love the United States. We just love it. Everybody has been so kind and so gracious, and every month it just gets better and better and better. And the funniest thing is we tell the American people this, and we tell them how wonderful the country is and how diverse the terrain and how great the people are. And they say, each one says the same thing. We wish that everyone else in the world felt the same way. That's kind of the common denominator that we've heard. So it's really a shame about what we hear in the media, especially in Canada, because I grew up in Canada, and all the TV, all the commercials, all the movies that we watched have all come from the United States. And all the political parties that we hear of, and all the crime and corruption, and you don't want to get eye contact with anybody in the United States because they'll shoot you. This is what we hear when we're in Canada. I don't know what they talk about in other countries, but this is what we've heard growing up, and I think you can attest to that too, Corey.
Absolutely. No, my experience has been different because I actually have lived in the States at different times in my life. My mother immigrated to California when I was about 2 in 1959, and then I've also spent some time in Hawaii, and of course I've traveled throughout the U.S. I actually love it. I love the American spirit. I love Independence Day because by nature I'm independent, I'm free living, I'm not a socialist. And we have had such phenomenal experiences down here. You know, you've got to find a place on this planet, in this world, that gravitates towards you. You've got to be compatible with the environment that you live in. And I can see that a lot of people are not happy because they live in the wrong place. And it's not just physiologically because they get allergies. It's because of the spirit of the people they live around. If you're an entrepreneur, you've got to have opportunity. If you like to follow the crowd and you're not really secure and you're safe, then maybe living in a socialist regime is perhaps better for you. But the key is to be free, to be independent, to have access to good quality health care, and to know what that means, because I'll tell you what, we have really defined it down here. So let's get back on track here, Trace.
Me on track? You're the one that goes off track all the time. Okay, folks, so, well, last time we ended our last SNU when we had just arrived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And that was very interesting. And right after we presented the SNU, we headed for the airport to pick up Daisy, our eldest daughter. She's 25. And away we went. Roswell was our destination. However, driving to Roswell, we passed through two deserted towns, Encino and Vaughan. These are deserted, and they're old, dilapidated homes that I've never seen anything like it, because in Vancouver, when a building is old, they tear it down. Now, I just had to take pictures of these. I stopped right in the middle of the street, and there's the RV, and there's cars passing by, honking their horns, saying, get off the road, but I just couldn't help myself because I truly believe that these are a work of art, and I've never seen anything like them. And Roswell... Finally, we got to Roswell. Daisy had not really heard about Roswell too much, being 25, but Corey and I both have heard of Roswell, where the aliens apparently landed. We've heard about this our whole life. We toured the UFO Museum, which was very interesting. Did the aliens crash or not? We'll never know. But I'll tell you, a few people in Roswell believe that it did.
And of course, now... I can explain my own existence. My progenitors did crash on this planet, and I crawled out of that spaceship and have never really felt comfortable I've always felt out of place, never have been able to communicate how I've truly felt. And when I was a little boy, I used to look up into the sky and look at the stars, and I felt a tremendous comfort, not knowing that that is where I came from. Now, I don't know the exact solar system and where in the universe I came from, and I, like Superman, feel all alone in the world. But thank God there are people that love health, that like to be vital, just like my alien forefathers, because I believe that they came from the planet called health.
Oh, chew on that one for a while. The pieces of the puzzle are coming together now. Ah, only took me 20 years to figure it out, and it took Roswell to figure it out. Well, of course, in a small town like Roswell, there's not going to be a Gold's or a 24-hour fitness, but there was an Anton's Powerhouse Gym. And we met Anton himself, and it's a brand new, huge, fantastic gym with incredible equipment. Anton is a power lifter and knows the ins and outs of the gym business and what is necessary to build a proper lifting place. He and his wife were extremely friendly and didn't charge us for the workout and gave each of us a complimentary t-shirt. Now, that's good service. So if you're ever in Roswell, make sure to stop at Anton's gym.
Anton is a natural power lifter, a nice clean 475 bench. Very impressive, very lean and muscular, but it's his personality that really impressed me and his talent for knowing how to handle people. And this has been our experience on our trip here in the States. It's just one thing after another. Again, I want to remind you that in our experience, and maybe it's because of who we are and because we're connecting more with the health and fitness industry than with others. Although we do go in and out of gas stations and grocery stores and we have to run errands, so like in post offices, and we're standing in line and we listen to people and we watch them, and just a phenomenal experience. We just can't tell you how incredibly beautiful these people are and how generous they've been to us. But what a thrill to have Daisy fly down to Albuquerque and then drive down to Roswell and through this barren state going towards an area like that. And it's like a fantasy, and it was so great. And we had such a great time with Daisy. At her age, she's incredibly fit. Let me tell you, parents, that if you raise up your child well, they might go away from it, but they come back, and they come back with a flurry. Daisy is training hard, eating magnificently. She's beautiful. She's lean. She's so happy, and it's just such a great thing to connect with your daughter on that level.
And speaking about good looking, well, it's Saturday night in Roswell, so what do? You go to a real country bar with a real live country band, and the mirror ball was shaped like a saddle. Well, I took lots of pictures of that because I love mirror balls, being the disco queen that I am. And Daisy was a hit. There just happened to be a very large group of handsome young bucks at a table, and they were applying for Border Patrol, or they were just in their last phase of becoming Border Patrols in training. Needless to say, we had a very fun evening.
No doubt. You got to love that American beer. You can drink twice as much of it, and it keeps you going and going and going. So we had a hoot and a howl, and it was just wonderful. But time to move on, and our time with Daisy was limited and precious, so we needed to get her to the next site. So tell us all about that, Trace.
Well, Santa Fe was the next stop, and that's a lovely little town. I don't know how little it is, but it's just a lovely town. And I can really see what they mean by Santa Fe style. It's a very southwestern decor and has a style all its own. These little homes that look like Fred Flintstone houses.
Fred Flintstone houses. I'm telling you, no lie. And we walked down the streets and looked at these things and took some great pictures. But that's one of the highlights of New Mexico, is the adobe-like homes that they live in. They're very short. Like, these people, I guess, aren't very tall. But they have a real character, and they really stand out. And they look like they're, like, hundreds of years old, but they're built fairly new. They've got all the interior design that you want for modern living, but on the outside, they have this really cool look. And, of course, they tie in beautifully with the environment, with the cacti and the dryness. And I guess they are built with that in mind. But we eventually got from Santa Fe back to Albuquerque. We dropped Daisy off, said goodbye, and have been in touch ever since. And she had a marvelous, marvelous time. But where did we go to from there, Trace?
Well, where else but Las Vegas, New Mexico. And yes, Las Vegas, New Mexico was around before Las Vegas, Nevada. And the funniest thing, I was cooking breakfast one day in the RV. I was making an omelet, and I was looking at ostrich, because we'd seen a lot of ostrich farms go by. And I was asking Corey, I said, how big is an ostrich egg, and what do you do with an ostrich egg, and how many eggs, regular chicken eggs, would fit in an ostrich egg? And then when we were actually in Santa Fe, I was looking at all this different turquoise, and I was saying, oh, I'd love to have turquoise rings and turquoise necklaces, and oh, the turquoise is just so beautiful. So I'm going ahead of myself, but I just want Corey to tell you a little bit about what happened when we blew a fuse in the RV.
Well, the reason we blew the fuse, and I'm not talking about mine, I'm talking about the fuse, the cigarette lighter, the extra outlet above it. I blew both of them because we're using an inverter plugged into that for our computers. And, of course, me being the great mechanic that I am and not really knowing where the fuse box was, these new fuses are not like my old cars when I grew up in the 50s and 60s. You know, they're much more complex, and by no means am I an expert on RVs. Anyway, I needed some help trying to find where this fuse was because I determined logically that probably the fuse had blown. So I look up in Google and find this RV dealer. And I can't remember where it was, but it was some back road place in New Mexico. So we drive in, and the red flag and the warning lights start going off because there's a couple of guys sitting in front on rocking chairs with a little piece of blade of grass in their teeth. And, of course, they got no teeth, and they're drinking some beers, and they just look like hell warmed over. And the place was, you know, shoddy. There was old cars and there was no RVs, and we're thinking, like, are we in the right place? You had to see it. It was classic, like out of a movie, like, you know, down south somewhere. Everything's abandoned. And anyway, I pull up in the RV and I get out and I ask these guys, I said, where's Al? Because that's the name of the guy that I spoke to on the phone. Well, he's not here right now, but he'll come. And I sort of explained to these guys what I needed. And they said, just wait. So anyway, about an hour later, Al finally shows up. And he's this incredible ectomorph with this hat on and this pencil mustache. And he's dressed out of this world. The whole experience was phenomenal. So anyway, he asks me what the problem is. And then he starts going inside. And all of a sudden, 10 guys come out of nowhere, and they start pulling all the wires out of my RV. They pull boards off. They start pulling the leads off the batteries. And I'm standing there going, what is going on here, man? And I'm looking at Tracy saying, like, we got to get out of here, man. Like, these guys are taking over my RV, and they're going to tear it to shreds. I said, I've got a warranty on the RV, and maybe I should just take it to the main dealer because I think it's just the fuse. And the guy says, well, if you don't want to deal with the root of the problem, then do that. But otherwise, I'm going to help you fix your car and find out what the problem is. And I said, hey, dude, I think it's just a simple fuse. Anyway, he spends another 20 minutes trying to look for the fuse. He can't find it. They got wires. They got leads. They got battery terminal things going off and lights flashing. And all of a sudden, some guy pulls up in a car and comes out of the car and talks to Al, and Al disappears. And I'm standing there with all my car leads hanging off, and I'm wondering what's going on. So anyway, he comes back a half an hour later and says, I can't help you right now. I got to look after this matter. And if you want to come back tomorrow morning, be my guest and I can help you. So I'm thinking in my head, oh, thank God, I got to get out of here, man, because, like, are these guys going to bury us in the backyard or what? So we put all the leads back on and disconnect the battery charger and everything else, and we tear off. And I'm driving down the road, and we get to Las Vegas, Nevada, and I notice that there is a dealership that deals with Fords because I've got a Ford chassis in this RV. So I drive around, and I walk in, and here's this guy behind the counter, and I explain to him that I need a fuse. So he walks out to the RV with me, gets down on his hands and knees, reaches up, finds the fuse box, and then he spends another 20 minutes explaining exactly how to do it, how it works. And the guy was one of the nicest guys I have ever met in my life. His name is Carl. Well, Tracy and him start talking about their allergies in common, and he tells us he's a jeweler by trade, and he sends me to the part shop. They give me the fuse. They wouldn't let me buy it. So at the end of the day, we fix the thing, and there's no charge after about 40 minutes of time and the free parts. And I'm saying, like, this is bizarre, man. Again, this is this service. So I say to Carl, look it, here's $20. Buy yourself a beer. Buy your mechanic a beer. And he wouldn't take it, but eventually he took it. And then we took off, and we're looking at this auto parts place that he told me about to get another piece for the car that I needed. And he pulls up. He starts talking to us. He's the nicest guy in the world. Tells us his whole experience. He was in Vietnam. He was in jail. He's this and that. Unbelievable. He then invites us to his house. Because he's a jeweler, and he specializes in turquoise, which Tracy loves. So Tracy and I look at each other. We decide to follow him to his house. We get to his house. He's up on the hill, a beautiful view, and there's his wife in the house. He takes me inside to the room. He opens this safe right in front of me so that I can see the combination. And he opens this big, giant safe, and inside it is thousands of dollars and hundreds of gems. And then he proceeds to pull out an M16 machine gun and about five handguns and all kinds of guns. And I'm freaking out saying, is this guy going to kill me or what? Like, it's bizarre. These things just do not happen in Canada. And I said, where do you get these guns? He said, well, everyone around has got guns, and we all have guns. In Albuquerque, you just walk into a grocery store and buy a gun. So that's kind of weird. Anyway, one thing leads to the next, and we're in his garage, and he's showing us how he makes his jewelry. He pulls out this great big tray. Tracy is freaked out. She has a cry. The woman is there, that the whole spiritual event is overwhelming. He ends up giving Tracy a bunch of free jewelry. We mentioned about the ostrich egg. He gives us an ostrich egg. He actually had one in the garage. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So this is just one example of the experiences that we're having. But at the end of the day, they're miraculous, they're wonderful, they're awe-inspiring, and the people that we are connecting with will never forget us, and they will find out about the Corey Hauling Institute. You better believe it, because everyone we meet, we have an impact on, and we give them our card, and they go online and check out our site.
Phew, that was quite the story. And really, you know, I did have a little breakdown. It was the most amazing thing. I received, like, a beautiful necklace. Like, he gave me an ostrich egg lamp. Now I know how big ostrich eggs are and how thick they are. Apparently, an ostrich can hold up to, like, 300 pounds because an ostrich has to sit on them. So they're quite sturdy. A turquoise belt buckle, a couple of other turquoise gemstones. And I just love the earth stones. And when I touch them or I'm around them, I get this vibration that goes through my body. It's really weird, but it's true. And yeah, I just find it wonderful. Anyway, that's that story. So then we moved on to Colorado. Apparently, Colorado is a dry climate, but the minute we arrived on Colorado soil, we were in a Walmart parking lot, and it proceeded to absolutely pour down rain, thundering and lightning. Corey was, we park way in the back, and it was a huge, huge parking lot, because every Walmart around here is huge, but there was nobody in the parking lot, just a couple of RVs, and I zipped over because I just had a craving for blueberries, picked up some blueberries, and Corey's still in the RV, way, it must have been like, it seemed like a mile away, I don't know how far away it was, but it was an awful long ways, and it's just pouring down in buckets, thundering and lightning, and I'm thinking, should I run? Should I not run? Should I run? Should I not run? So I thought, oh, what the heck? I'm on a holiday, and it'll be nice to be in the rain and away from the heat for a while. So I run to the RV, and I got soaked right up to my knees. It was just pouring. Lightning's coming down, and there I am. What a great conductor. Feet in the water, and the lightning's coming down. I get to the RV, and there's no RV. And I'm looking around going, what am I, in the Twilight Zone or what? There's got to be, I know we parked here. There's no other cars around. I know he parked by these other RVs. I'm looking around, and there's Corey way over there gone to pick me up. Well, by this time, I was really mad. But how can you be mad? Because he was doing the gallant thing by coming to pick me up. So that was my little Colorado, Trinidad, Colorado story. And then we headed on to Colorado Springs, which is a lovely, huge place, actually. And we hit the Olympic Training Center, which was really cool.
Yeah, and man, did I feel comfortable there. We saw some athletes in great shape. And, of course, they're just on the verge of leaving for Beijing. And the Summer Olympics, of course, are going to be over by the time you hear this. And just an incredible environment. And you can really see why the American athletes excel and rate higher than almost all the other ones, in some cases anyway, in the world. Because they've got the money to support their athletes, they've got these training centers all over the states. And they actually support them financially. They live on the site. They train. And that's what they do. They eat, live, and train for the Olympics. And when you do that, imagine if you did that in anything, how good you'd get at what you were doing. So obviously that's something that I was very attracted to, seeing the different buildings and talking to people that were there, and seeing also the statues and the monuments that they had carved out or created for the athletes. Really phenomenal. Now, one of the highlights on this trip had to be also in Colorado, just off to the west of Colorado Springs, and that is a place called Garden of the Gods. And believe me, it really is something you can't believe it at first. There are these huge red rocks, as if God himself had put them down in position from the sky, right flat onto the ground. Because the way they stand up and erect, it's just something else. You're walking between them. It's like you're in a movie. It's really a phenomenal experience. So, you know, again, the majesty of the environment in, I guess, Arizona and Utah and Colorado, this particular area of the states has that reputation for these monument greens that dwarf us when standing beside them. It humbles you, and it kind of limits how you measure up to them in terms of perspective. And so that was an incredible experience, and I highly recommend it.
Yes, Garden of the Gods was absolutely phenomenal, and we have it all on film. So I'm really excited to get these pictures blown up and framed one day. Before we hit each state, what Corey does is he sends out an email to each of the CSNA students and graduates in that area, along with the Clayton College students and graduates in that area. And lo and behold, we usually get a couple of hits. And one of the hits that we got was from a CSNA graduate, Joel Moore. Handsome young ectomorph, muscular, buff guy, truly makes us very proud to see our CSNA graduate look so great. Anyway, him and Corey had a workout together. There's a 21-year-old and a 50-year-old man. So tell us about that. How'd that go, Corey?
Well, if you want to supercharge your drive and motivation, train with a young buck. And what a great guy Joel is. The last time I saw him had been 3 or 4 years at the Colgan camp on Salt Spring Island. And you know what? It just validates what I'm doing all the more, because he has been applying the CSNA strategies as an ectomorph, and I kid you not, from 147 up to 198. Natural, drug-free. He's playing for Colorado State football team now. He's a great athlete. And it's great to see him put on the mask, because he's staying true to the principles, lifting heavy, lifting clean, lifting with strategy, and doing it right. And like the Borg, he's making the weights conform to him. And he understands, you know, he's got a gymnastics background, which is a phenomenal background. But just to see the muscle laid on him the way it is, it's an incredible experience to see the reality of these things in motion come through and shine. So good for Joel. And I had a great visit with his dad and his mom, who cooked us an organic freshhold meal. They live on an acreage just at the base of a mountain. Beautiful environment. We parked the RV, spent the night there. There was wolves and deer and elk and coyotes and raccoons and skunks and natural wildlife. It was phenomenal. And Colorado, what an incredible state.
Yes, and you know how I like to go out for dinner, don't you, Corey? Oh, it was a lovely dinner. And Paul, Joel's father, looks like his brother. It's just amazing. They really live a really healthy lifestyle. And Donna and I got into the old cookbooks and And we really enjoyed ourselves, so it was really, really nice. Thank you for that. Then we moved on to Denver, and again, we were invited. This is not why we email, so that people will invite us for dinner, but I want you to know it's truly appreciated. We moved on to Denver, and we were invited to another CSNA graduate, Greg Damien, and his wife, Teresa. We had a pleasant evening with them, and Greg is preparing for a bodybuilding competition 13 days away, so he would be competing this weekend, and so he had no posing routine down. So, of course, Corey and I go down there with Greg, and we commenced a posing routine for him, and that was really a lot of fun. So he has a base to work with now with his trainer, so we really wish him the best. Then we moved on to the Red Rocks at the Amity Theater at 5 o'clock in the morning with Steve Adelay, who is the owner of Isatori Sports Nutrition Line. We spent the 4th of July with his wife, Julia Lacey Adelay, who writes recipes for this magazine, Real Solutions. We had a blast with her three daughters watching the beautiful fireworks, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful day. Steve gave us a three-hour tour of Isatori facilities in Golden, and we met most of his team, and what a great group he has on board.
Yeah, Steve is an honorable man with incredible integrity, and you know, CHI is not just chi, the energy that flows, and CHI is not just consumer health information, but CHI is courage, honor, and integrity, and there are few men that fit the bill that I know that are in the supplement industry like Steve. He used to work with EAS as a right-hand man to Bill Phillips, and what a great model to learn from. He's got a great business. He distributes and manufactures a product line called Isatori, and the website is Isatori Tech, I-S-A-T-O-R-I Tech, T-E-C-H.com. So go there, subscribe to the newsletter, and check out some of their products, because the product quality is outstanding and the service is excellent. And we learned a lot from Steve about American distribution, manufacture, the climate of the people, their mentality, and of course, once again, our learning curve is going right through the roof on this trip to help us better educate people through SNU and through the writings and the various education that we have. So, way to go, Steve. Very proud of you, and you're a great friend.
And he's good looking, too. He lives the life, and he's got a really hot body, should I say, and so did his wife. They both look really well and healthy. Okay, enough of that. Boulder. Boulder is such a quaint town, and I could live there. I think I could live in Boulder. I really liked it. It reminds me of Nelson, British Columbia, Canada, where I grew up. Lots of little shops and little galleries, and I like to have one of everything. So lucky for you, Corey, that we have no room in the RV. Well, that's our Colorado trip. We haven't quite toured Fort Collins yet, but if we do, we'll definitely let you know for the next SNU. And that's it for our update.
Except one more thing. I want to mention Red Rocks. We forgot that. Steve woke us up at 5 in the morning. You know, he was batting down the door with a bat. No, he actually warned us when we were up and waiting for him. He drove by, picked us up, and took us to this Red Rocks amphitheater, which is incredible. And you know I like the grouse grind, but this is more challenging and more intense, if you can believe it. It's shorter, but it's at a 90-degree incline, and it's actually the bleachers or the stairs that you sit on when watching this concert. And you got to check this out. Do a Google on Red Rocks Amphitheater. All the great bands go there. There's been a lot of recordings. Apparently the acoustics are incredible. We were there the morning after the band, so they were cleaning up, and then Steve challenged me to a one-on-one up the stairs. And one of the hardest, I mean, you're starting at 6,000 feet, so the altitude reduces the amount of oxygen. For the sea dwellers that we are, that's a bit of a challenge. So I'm going to give Steve the edge on that one. And, of course, he's got about 14 years on me in the opposite direction towards zero. So we ran neck and neck, and he edged me out at the top, and we ran two more stairs, and it was just a delight, again, to be inspired by someone who drags you out and puts you on a mountain and says, I challenge you to go now. And that is the kind of energy and motivation that all of us need to inch forward and to achieve a higher standard, because, you know, there's nothing worse in the world than being mediocre. So, Trace, let's move on quickly to the last and final topic. What you reading, dear?
I just finished reading The Lopsided Gal by Jackie Miller. Now, Jackie is the gal that we met at the Clayton College Conference, and she invited us to stay with her and her husband, Dale, in Phoenix. And we talked about them in our last episode of SNU. Now, this book is a daily journal of Jackie's experiences and feelings of lopsidedness through her breast cancer experience. And it's not just from a physical standpoint, but a spiritual, emotional, and mental as well. It's presented with constant strength, faith, and humor. And Jackie wrote The Lopsided Gal in hopes that it will be encouragement to other cancer patients and their family. And, you know, as I'm reading this, I just cannot believe that she had to endure all of this. Like, she goes into detail about how she felt through chemotherapy, and I just can't believe how she really kept her spirits up. But she believes, she has a faith, she believes in Jesus Christ, and this has helped her through this. And she was active in church, and she had two children, young children at the time, who had swim meets and soccer games, and she's also has her own business, and she's doing proposals and going to business meetings, and she's lecturing. And I'm thinking to myself, she's doing an awful lot when she's had her surgery and she's going through chemo. But as she goes on to say, she's happy that she had these things to do because it took her mind off her illness. And her wonderful husband, who was a prince, was there the whole time. So it's a really good read. It's a really easy read, a good read. And I don't know if it's still in production, but if you'd like to maybe get a hold of a copy of The Lopsided Gal, and I want you to know, she ain't lopsided at all. She's pretty centered, if you ask me. It is Jackie Miller at earthlink.net. Jackie is J-A-C-Q-U-E Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R, at earthlink.net. So thank you, Jackie, for your book.
And thank you, Tracy, for that wonderful update on SNU. Well, it's time to hit the wall to get out and get up. So what is your final word?
My final word is by Ronald Reagan. If we love our country, we should also love our countrymen.